Hey, folks. Today's hearing of the Minnesota Senate Committee on Higher Education for Thursday, March 13th, 2025 is now in session. Folks, we have two bills to talk about today. The first is Senate File 1611 of Senator Umuver-Bayden, and our second will be Senate File 1989 from Senator Dreheim. So our first order of business, please, Senator Umuver-Bayden, Senate File 1611. When you are ready, please tell us a little bit about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 1611 would provide $250,000 each year in funding to the Office of Higher Education to provide student loan debt counseling services, and it is a slight increase from the current $200,000 appropriation per year. Student loans help borrowers achieve educational and career goals, but they also can have long-term negative impacts on financial stability and mental well-being. And so in Minnesota, we have almost 800,000 residents who are student borrowers, and the average balance being $34,292. Mine is higher than that. So I know from personal experience that it can be tough to kind of navigate this, and really the folks who provide these services do crucial work. So student loan payments, also want to say, leave less capacity for borrowers to cover other expenses. That could be rent, household bills, investments in their future. And then if a borrower becomes delinquent on their payments, their credit scores can be negatively impacted, resulting in obstacles to finding housing, employment, and securing insurance. So in 2019, the legislature established a grant program to provide individual student loan debt repayment counseling to the borrowers who are Minnesota residents and help avoid some of those negative consequences of lingering student loan balances. Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota has been the grantee of this program since it was created and is awarded through a competitive RFP process. Since then, this grant program has been successful in bringing student loan repayments current and preventing default for borrowers. Again, I can tell you from personal experience, there's a lot of stuff you have to navigate as a student loan borrower, and the work that Lutheran Social Services and the folks who provide this counseling do is crucial to help people understand. Oftentimes when you're young and you're first taking out those loans, you don't necessarily understand all of the steps you're going to have to take to do repayment. There's a number of different plans that you have to navigate. Those things continue to change in this environment at the federal level. So it's really important that we provide folks with the support they need just so that they can make those payments back. They want to repay that, but they need to be in the right program. They need the support to get onto the right track and avoid going into default. So I will pass it to Becky Bakarian, who is the Senior Director of Financial and Employment Services at Lutheran Social Services.
Thank you, Senator Umuver-Bayden. Ms. Bakarian, if you could please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Sure. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair. It's Becky Bakarian, and I am the Senior Director of Financial and Employment Services at LSS. LSS Financial Counseling has been around for 35 years with mission helping individuals overcome debt, build assets, and achieve financial wellness. We serve over 10,000 families a year, either in person, over the phone, or virtually. We offer budget and debt counseling, student loan debt counseling, credit report reviews, foreclosure prevention, home buyer counseling, and financial education. We have 22 certified financial counselors located throughout the state in Duluth, Willmar, Brainerd, Mankato, Rochester, Virginia, and three metro offices. Eight of our counselors are student loan certified. As Senator Umuver-Bayden mentioned, LSS has been a recipient of the Office of Higher Education Student Loan Counseling Repayment Grant. Since March of 2020, when we began the work on this grant, we've counseled 4,755 borrowers with a total of 7,238 appointments. As noted on the one-pager we provided to the committee, this one here, we continue to see a high demand for these services. We served 1,104 borrowers in 58 counties in 2024 alone. In the first year of this round of funding, we were at 32% above grant targets for numbers served. A typical borrower looking for assistance is overwhelmed and doesn't know exactly how much they owe, nor to whom. A certified student loan counselor assists them in gathering loan details and balances. The counselor and borrower work together to determine an affordable repayment plan and set goals to be successful in repaying their student loans. We also meet with the borrowers who want to retire, but co-sign their child or adult child student loans and are still paying on those loans, making retirement unaffordable. We see first-generation college students who, for a variety of reasons, had to drop out of college. Due to insufficient income and or increased expenses, the borrowers defaulted and are unsure how to catch up. However, they're required to bring their loans into good standing in order to go continue schooling. We're here to help them with that process. After meeting with a student loan repayment counselor, borrowers have a better understanding of their student loans and how to address them. Borrowers learn about their options to avoid defaulting on their loans, which helps borrowers ensure they don't get their wages garnished and so they're able to work towards achieving their financial goals. After borrowers meet with a counselor, 93% report increased knowledge and feel confident in repaying their loans. 95% avoid default for at least 1 year after receiving the counseling and feel confident in their ability to repay. 58% report payments are more affordable after a year after receiving counseling, and 97% develop a realistic individualized spending plan. Due to the increased demand for the student loan counseling, Senate File 1611 recommends an increase of $100,000 to serve an estimated 500 more borrowers in Minnesota. This is 500 more individuals or families who may be struggling with their finances and worried about their financial future. Counselors help set people up for success in their student loan repayment, and this success also provides stability for the rest of their financial picture, such as building emergency savings and achieving their financial goals. In conclusion, we are grateful for the opportunity to provide work that has such a positive impact on so many Minnesotans. Thank you for allowing us to share our work with the committee, and we request that you support Senate File 1611.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, do we have questions for the author of the bill or her testifier? Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering what some of the other sources of revenue are that you have for running these programs across the state other than just this one grant.
Ms. Pekarian.
Excellent question. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Senator Rarick. For student loan funding, this is specifically for student loan repayment counseling. We do have other sources of funding, and they're very specifically tied to it. For example, we have funding that comes in for HUD and for, it's called HECAC funding, specifically from the state to provide housing counseling. We have funding that comes in from the state to provide student loan repayment counseling. So we do have different pots of funding, but it's very earmarked for very specific things. So if there wasn't this funding, we would not be able to have the capacity because it is specialized counseling that requires a certification, so we wouldn't be able to provide this counseling.
Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're saying these, your offices around do multiple things. This funding kind of goes directly to just the student services, but then they're also funded through like HUD and other things, so this isn't 100% of what they're doing.
Ms. Pekarian.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Senator. Excellent question. Yes, we actually have 8 counselors that are certified, but it's only about 2.25 FTE that's covered in this bill. So it's only a portion of each person that we allocate out to this throughout the state so that way we can provide services. So that way, throughout the state where you're at, you can get those services in person at those locations.
Senator Rick. Members, other questions or comments? Seeing none, Senator Mubayton, do you have a closing statement you'd like to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just again, think this is really important work. There's been a lot of changes at the federal level just in the last few years. There was cancellation, there were reforms for that. Then it was not upheld by the Supreme Court. There was the SAVE plan, that was then canceled. There's a number of different programs that borrowers have to navigate. And it can be very complicated. I go through this myself. So I understand the need for these counseling services. And it really does help people stay out of default, make sure that they have money to pay rent, to pay for their other expenses in their lives. So I think it's a great program, and I hope we can support it.
Thank you, Senator Mubayton. Senate File 1611 will be held over for possible inclusion. Next up, we have Senator Dreheim with Senate File 1989. Senator Dreheim, before we actually begin discussion of your bill, just a bit of a spoiler or a forecast of things to come. We'd like you to present the bill and make your primary argument. Then I think we're going to recess while an amendment is worked out, and then we'll come back together and take care of that. Is that acceptable to you?
Chair, it's it's your committee, so you guys. So whatever you need to do is fine with me. I think, I assume it's gonna be laid over. You know, I have one amendment that's ready, and members with working with the stakeholders. They want, my goal is to have the information for the students to have, but I don't wanna put a burden on Minn State or the U or the private schools to have to do what I'm requesting. And there is a fix that works pretty good for the nonprofits and for Minn State, but not some of the other schools. And I think the amendment addresses the last group. And I think it's an easy fix, but we'll go through the bill pretty simple, and whatever the chair decides.
Thank you, Senator Hamm. So to Senate File 1989, please.
Thank you. So members, I think in your packet is an E1 amendment, and the new amendment will have that language and then kind of an or language, including another option. And what the whole goal of what I'm trying to do here is to give information to the students going to college. So a lot of decisions to be made when you go off to college, what college you go to, and then what's your major? And you know, if you're like me, you change your major 7-8 times, spend 7.5 years in college. It's fantastic. But college costs a lot. And you know, the debt that our kids are carrying is affecting them on marriage, having children, buying a house, et cetera. So kind of like what we worked on, Swazinski and myself, on the kind of the home budget for our high school kids to try to figure out what debt is and what insurance is and what a just a household budget is. I think the next step is when we kick the kids out of the house or grown adults going back to school, we want to give them the tools to make an educated decision on the best path for them. And I think a lot of young people have more than one option that they're interested in. And I think if we presented them with a little guidance that here's kind of a range or an average of a degree in this field, what you might expect to make. So then they can make that decision on maybe what's the best decision for them and their future family or existing family. You know, I'll pick on my daughter. She's on her way home for spring break right now. She texted me a little bit ago. She just left Nebraska. And she's stuck between being an accountant or being a school psychologist. So those are her two paths. And I don't know if this would help her make a decision, but it wouldn't hurt. But I think it would help some people. I do have, I don't know if you guys can see this up here. You can see nothing.
Mr. Chair, have we moved the bill actually to be in front of us? Well, I would move Senate File 1989 then.
All right, Senator Rarick moves Senate File 1989. Mr. Parmargar has just informed me, Senator Rarick, that that is a convention most typically practiced in the other body.
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting, you referenced an amendment earlier, so do you want us to move the A1, or are we waiting to decide what we want to do in regard to that?
Senator Duckworth, we're going to wait.
Okay, sounds good.
A couple of moments. This is the most elaborate stalling I've ever seen, Senator Dreheim. It's impressive.
How about there? Are we good?
This
one. I don't know if I have any HDMI. You should have one on there. It's right
there. There we go.
Yeah.
Chair, if I could, you know how many cables I have laying up here?
Senator Hamm, it looks like the screens aren't even turned on. That seems like that might be a partial concern, unless they are. They are? All right, never mind. I'm not the IT guy.
I am trying every cable possible up here, so. Thank you, Chair, for your patience and committee members. So, you know, as originally drafted, this bill would require higher ed institutions to just provide an online snapshot of what to expect with each major. And Minn State said this is the website they use to feed that data. And my understanding is they have to give this data to the people that accreditate their schools and their programs. So I think this is valid to use. If they're using it for accreditation, it should be good for this. And it, obviously it's not precise or exact, but at least it is something. So I don't know how much you guys can see here. So this is census data. And on the side here, I have the state of Minnesota. I picked up, of course, no offense, Mankato State on here, or Minnesota State University of Mankato, whatever they're calling it. And then, so I have bachelor degree, and then I just picked a couple years, and then I clicked on a bunch of different majors to show what it is. So somewhere on the website, a student could go to a college or university and click what they're interested in. You know, my son's looking at different colleges right now. Of course, his top priority is playing sports. But he thinks he might want to go into business. So they have to have a business program for him to go. But if they do, and maybe he wants thinking something else, mathematics, whatever, he could look and see, okay, what does an average bachelor's degree pay after college? And see if that investment. Or is it something like psychology where you have to probably go on and get a master's or a PhD to reach whatever goal it is? And maybe it's teaching like yourself, Chair. And then what path is that? Do I want to switch schools for a master's program, et cetera? So that's the intent of the bill. I will stand for questions as we're waiting for the amendment to get jacketed.
Senator Aki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Draheim, I think I saw in the bill another piece to that, what'll show up on those graphs. And to me, that's even more important is if you find something that, you know, for, it's connecting them to something they like, first of all. But if we go to school for 4 years or whatever, in the end, the possibility of getting hired, what, you know, the job placement information is huge because some of that initial financial stuff, it's good, but we all know that once you get a little experience and get into your profession a few years, you're gonna name your salary's gonna follow or jump to whatever level you're performing at. But I think that placement percentage or information is super important also.
Senator Hamm?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Senator Aki. You're absolutely correct. You know, what percent? I know a few years ago, attorneys were having a hard time getting placed. I mean, I'm sure it's been decades now, but for me, it seems like a few years ago. So things go up and down. Trend lines change. Technology changes. And, you know, just because it was good when I was growing up, doesn't mean it's going to be a good career path today for my kids or my grandkids. So that's the intent. It's pretty simple. This isn't the first time I've had a bill like this in this room, in this committee. I just think with technology today, if the data is readily available, they should be able to redirect it pretty inexpensively to their university's website or college's website. So the students that are either looking at the school or enrolled in the school will have some idea what path they want to go.
Senator Aki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, just a little bit of a follow-up. And one of the pieces that I was thinking of, and then I'll go on to the next part of it, but we have a lot of people that are, some students that do graduate with a four-year degree that is no longer practical, and maybe this would head off some of those souls that get 4 years, they walk to get their diploma, and then now what do I do? Senator Dreheim, the additional information on the amendment, you've touched on it a little bit, but you know, I know that when we've had some of these morning breakfasts that has come up is, what is your graduation rate? Some of these numbers that you're asking for here that I would think most of our schools should be able to rattle off quite easily. So I'm just wondering, is the pushback been minor? To me, this is probably some of the most important information they have, so hopefully it goes up easily without much of a burden on them for reporting this type of, it should be bragging rights. So, I mean, they should want it on there, on a site like this.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Senator Uckey. You're absolutely right, and that's the feedback I've been getting from the different groups of colleges and universities. They don't have a problem with the concept, but we don't want to make it expensive for them, because we want to keep the money in the classroom for the kids and not on admin. So that's kind of the fine line we're trying to do. What's the best data we can get? And if they're already paying for this data to access it or using this for other things, then that makes sense to use this data. Graduation rates, et cetera, would have to be on there too, or whatever you guys want to include. It's your committee. I'm just bringing the concept up, trying to push it. I think it's a helpful tool. We're not going to have a lot of funds to do a lot of fun things. This, I think, will be relatively inexpensive. I do not have a fiscal note. I would recommend making them do it without any money attached, but I am not the chair of the committee. So I think it would be very, very inexpensive, and maybe even a project for a student to figure out how to do it. It'd be a good class project for a computer programming class that I think a lot of our institutions have and do good work.
Thank you, Senator Hamm. Speaking of figuring out how to do stuff, I think it would be prudent at this point to just take a quick recess, figure out the amendment, come back and talk some more. So we are in recess at the call of the chair.
put up more.
Or something like it. Members, before you have at your desks the A2 amendment. Senator Kupek moves the A2 amendment. Senator Draham, would you like to explain or describe it for us, please?
Thank you, Chair and members. So on line 22 on page 2, obviously we're deleting that after the period and inserting that. And what the big change was, we called out this website that I'm displaying on there is kind of where they're going to take the feed from. And then adding language for the institutions that don't use this data but use other data that is accepted by an accredited company, I guess, that they do it. So they don't have a cost to recreate the wheel. And it should be very similar. You know, I would, it'd be nice to have a more robust, but with the fiscal situation we're in, I'm trying to be very mindful of the systems and the cost to it. And if we start with this, and maybe there'll be a better idea in a couple years, and we can come and adjust it.
Thank you, Senator Draham. Members, do you have any discussion of the A2 amendment? Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to challenge the author to answer this question. The definitions here are, you know, what you're getting at. Can you explain to us, like, what institutions are using the Census Bureau post-secondary employment outcomes and which are under the institutional accreditor?
Senator Draham.
And I'm going to challenge your eyesight, Senator Rarick. If you look right here in this box, these are the partner institutions in Minnesota. And I'll scroll down as slow as I can for some older eyes. So Alexander Anoka, Anoka Ramsey, Augsburg, Bemidji, Bethany, Bethel, Bethel Seminary, Carleton, Century Lakes, Century. You see the list. So it covers, I think, the majority of the nonprofit. And then Minn State is what I mainly see here. And I don't know all the institutions. It's been a few years since I've been in higher ed. But I think it covers the vast majority. Here's St. John, St. Mary's, South Central College, Southwest, St. Olaf, St. Catherine, St. Cloud, for those up by St. Cloud, St. Cloud Tech, Staples, and then the U of M's, Vermilion, Winona. So I think it covers quite a few. And with the language we added, Rasmussen would be included and a couple others. So I think we got the majority of the post-secondary institutions.
Thank you, Senator Hamm. Senator Rarick?
Good.
Members, any other questions or comments on the A2 amendment?
Yeah, over here, Chair.
Oh, I saw a finger move, and I was waiting to see if the finger would move again. You're next. sorry. Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I ask my question, I do want to set the record straight. You did mention, as one of the colleges, St. John's, and I think they hardly qualify as a college, but to the amendment, go Johnnies, go Tommies. Where did we go? Anyway, it looks like this takes out the random audit. Was that intentional to get rid of the random audit? Because it deletes everything after the period.
Senator Draham,
thank you, Chair and Senator. You know, we're using census data. So, do you want to audit the Census Bureau? Like I said, it's a fine line on what your original idea as a bill author is, and then looking at the financial arena that we are playing in this year, and you know, there's a lot more data that I would love to see on here. And I think Senator Uckey mentioned some of that, that there's more information needed to make a good decision, but this is a good start. And that's what I'm trying to find, that happy medium between the perfect world and what we can afford right now. And this is a starter. So I agree there's a lot more we could put on here, and hopefully someday we'll be able to do that. But this is a starting point.
Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I was thinking that the audit was more that they were verifying that this was actually on the website, not necessarily verifying the validity of the data that was on the website. So that was my misunderstanding.
If I could respond to that, Chair.
Senator Hamm.
You know, so it's hard for what I'm told, you know, this is all secondhand, that it's hard to go back to a graduate and get their income, and it would be very expensive for the institutions to be able to do that. So we would cost burden them to find out some data that I would call this data as close or a starting point or a guide. And the way I see it, it's comparing apples and oranges more or less in different tracks at the university. So up here, and not to pick on any one track, you have communications versus computer science. So if I was thinking of those two and I was worried about paying my debt, I might lean towards computer science instead of communications. And nothing wrong with communications, but that is what I'm trying to get at here, is those young people or people returning, if they're going to get a degree, what path are they going to go? Now, if you go communications and you go on and get a master's and maybe go on and get a PhD or something like that, then this whole thing changes. Because in this, and I don't know how the schools are going to do it, but in this website here, you could put in what degree. So if you have an AA degree or associate's degree versus a bachelor's degree, it changes the numbers. So I think we need to push people trying to make a decision on what they're going to do for that, what I call that career path. And the whole goal of that career path should be to get people on a path where they can provide for their family. That is the end goal. So even if you go to college for 4 years, you might not be able to do that. And I think most institutions are really looking at, which is a very hard decision to do, but looking at what programs they have and which ones they can afford to keep and which ones they might need to phase out. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but.
Senator Farnsworth. Yeah, Senator Drahan, that career path you described in terms of graduate school and communication, we don't call that a career path, we call that a downward spiral. That's what we call that.
I'm glad you said it, Chair.
Any other questions or comments to the amendment? Senator Clark?
Thank you, Chair, and I'm honestly not sure if it's to the amendment or the whole piece, because I'm on the website, I think it's 1, 5, and 10 years postgraduate salary on here, correct?
Senator Hamm.
So you've got
on this, you have all.
Yep.
And we'll have to work with the systems to make sure they can do this. But it looks more like a 2-year kind of increment that they're going off of. And I don't know how far back this goes. I'm guessing 10 years. Because if, like, old guy like me, going back 35 years, does that really matter, or, you know, for today's standards? Because some of the majors they had back, you know, computers really weren't much of a thing, or personal computers weren't much of a thing back when I started college. And so I think it's a time period, and I think it's a 2-year block. If that answers it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. Senator Clark?
Follow up. Chair, the question I'm getting to is sort of the interplay between the 4-year, the 2-year, and if you're going on to, you know, sure, you've got, you know, you're undergraduate and pre-med, you're going to make $0 after that, but 3 years and 5 years after that. Are we requiring interplay, therefore, into graduate school? Because there's a whole lot of folks who are going to graduate from the University of Minnesota with pre-med and earn 0 5 5 years in.
Senator Graham.
Very, very good point, Senator Clark. I don't think this gets to that. You know, I just put in, I'm still under Moorhead. I'm trying to pick on the people in the room. And, you know, they have a 1 year, a 5 year, and a 10 year, like you said, but I can still go in and change that. So I change here is the master's versus a bachelor's. And the pay went up across the board. You can see some of it really doesn't have the data. So we just have the data for the 1 year and no 5 or 10 year. I guess business majors are too lazy to do the report. I'm a business major, so I can pick on me. But I don't think this is going to solve everything for especially those advanced degrees. And I'm hoping if you're going to go on and get a PhD in something, you're going to do your own research.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I'm more worried about the kids starting out okay. in college and trying to hop on a track and stay on it because their parents are saying, you got to graduate in 4 years. You can't afford to be here, blah, blah, blah. And hopefully this will help them make a good decision. Now, going on to master's or PhD programs, that's a whole different animal.
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I like this concept. I like we're going. I think you made a good improvement. I think what folks, as they're digging in this, are going to realize is that some of the degrees, I love liberal arts degrees, that you start out as like, ooh, I'm not making as much money. Your growth in that's a whole lot better. Company I work for, they're always telling me, folks around me are like, I don't want a liberal arts major. I want somebody who's good at communicating, who's good at working together, who has these basic understandings, but I don't want a liberal arts degree. And you know what they're getting at is they want some basic business skills and they've got some broader pieces. And I think you're going to help folks see that there are more options. And yes, you're going to be choosing, you know, perhaps a starting salary that's going to help you in the short run and long run, and some that may be a little lower that will help you a bit more in the long run. So I love the concept of this. Thank you.
Thank you. And if I could, Chair.
Senator Hamm.
You know, I think, you know, at my peak, we had 110 employees and all backgrounds. And, you know, my wife tells me all the time that people that work for her, majority of them do not have majors in what they do. And, you know, this is just to get people on that career path. It's not telling them where they're going to end up. That's up to the individual. But we got to get them on that pathway for a career path where they can provide for their family. That's the whole goal. All jobs are honorable. And I think we need to keep that in mind. This is just a tool. What they do with it is up to them. So thank you.
Senator Mover Baden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Dreheim. I should say we have time now to start preparing for the 2030 census, so I guess we should all just start working on that. I am a huge census fan. I did a lot of work on that at the City of St. Paul, so I'm always thinking of the things we need to ask them to put more questions on. But you mentioned the advanced degrees, and Senator Clark was sort of getting at that. So is there a way to see people who do go on to get advanced degrees and the percentage of those who do, just like we want to know once you complete your degree and if it's a degree where you can start working right away, what are you earning? But also, is this education preparing you well to get into the next step if you're pursuing an advanced degree? Does that make sense?
Senator Hamm.
Chair, thank you. And thank you, Senator, for the question. I don't know if I can answer it. You know, I'm not an expert on this website. It's just what they told me that they used to try to accomplish what I was trying to get at. So I'm not here promoting or not promoting the Census Bureau. It's just the data that our majority of our institutions use. And I think these are all good points, and maybe someday we can and have better data. But to compare to what we're doing now, this is a huge step in the right direction. But I agree 100%. That would be nice to know. I just don't know if this site does it or not, or if the universities and the colleges will be able to do it or not.
Senator Mover-Baden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that makes sense. I was just wondering if, I think it's helpful that you're using a tool in this bill that institutions are already using and not reinventing the wheel, but if you had considered something in the just the bill to look at those who were pursuing those advanced degrees. And maybe there's not a great way to measure that right now, but other than looking several years out or looking at the outcomes after, just for folks who have, I guess, completed those advanced degrees as well as undergraduate degrees.
Senator Hamm?
I'm sure they have to report some data to their accreditation institutions on that, but I don't think it would get to the income. And, you know, so I think we could probably get, you know, some kind of placement or advancement numbers, especially the advanced degrees. But I don't know about the income, because, I mean, how would you feel if, I'll pick on Moorhead again, called you up and said, yeah, how much are you making, you know? I don't know how many people would, one, answer the phone, and two, tell them an answer or tell them the truth. So, once again, imperfect, but it's better than what we have.
Well, on that front, Senator Hamm, something I was just thinking about is that many advanced degrees, graduate degrees, are articulated to professional organizations that do collect lots of that information. So that might be something else to explore at some point, too, is some sort of articulation to those professional organizations that do know things like salaries and job requirements and things like that. So, members, I don't see any other questions or comments relative to the amendment specifically. So if we may, could we turn to that for a second? As I said, Senator Kupek moves the A2 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The A2 amendment is adopted. I think we've had a fairly vigorous discussion about the bill in its entirety, but if there are further questions or comments, we can entertain those now. Senator Umer Baden.
Just one more question. I know that you mentioned, Senator Draham, that this isn't the first time you've brought forward a bill like this to this committee. And I think a previous iteration had some aspect of standardizing offers from institutions. That's something I've been working on this year. Would love to chat with you more about that. But is there... I just wanted to know if you could speak more to kind of your process and focusing in on getting this information. Do you see value in also having institutions sort of provide really clear information to students about their offers so they know how much they're receiving in grants versus loans, what they'll have to repay, and what they're likely to earn after getting that degree, which is what your bill's getting at.
So, Andrea.
I think that's a great intersection between the two. And, you know, we all use reference points of ourselves or family members or people close to us. And, you know, my daughter, she applied to 32 colleges. And without her mom and dad knowing, and we toured most of them. And good for her. You know, she's, unlike her dad, very academically minded. And... doing great, and some of the offers were very confusing, and I would say almost misleading. Of course, she wanted to be away from dad a little bit and wanted to be outside of Minnesota, so I'm not picking on our own institutions here. So, you know, I think we can do better, and, you know, I think as college becomes more competitive, the smart institutions will be clearer on what they do and what they have to offer. We have a lot of great institutions in Minnesota that have a lot to offer. So I think they would want to brag and do a better job at communicating. The whole process of applying for college, we didn't qualify for any grants. But you got scholarships, lots of scholarships, because she's, unlike her dad, a 4.0 student, and took school very seriously, and that helped her. But I'm thinking, okay, what if she didn't have parents that went to college? How would they navigate that? And then, you know, we have the resources to help out a little bit. most families don't have that option. You know, even if they make good money, they might be caring for their parents or a sibling or whatever. So we can do better. We should strive to do better. And I like the concept. I don't know where you're at in the process. But I hope this will end up in the year-end bill that you guys will work on here shortly. And I think it would be something we could do to add to the information that colleges need to provide to the kids to make that good decision. And when I say kids, I know some people go back to college that are older than me, and great, good for them, but everybody's still a kid to me. So thank you.
Senator Moverbaden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Dreheim. Appreciate that. Hopefully we'll have Jack at soon, and we'd love to talk to you about that and keep working on this bill as we get closer to pulling together our final package in this committee. But I do appreciate the spirit of trying to get really empower our students and make sure that they're making informed decisions as they're deciding where to go. What is this, for me, I'm thinking about what does this offer entail, and are these, is it very clear what I don't have to pay back, what I do have to pay back, what am I going to earn in the future? Also think the work that's happening in OHE around direct admissions is just fantastic, is another piece around this where we can alleviate some of that pressure that students feel or concern that they're even going to get into college. So lots for us to work on, but look forward to working with you on this too. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Members, any other questions or comments to the bill? Senator Dreheim, do you have any closing statements?
No, I really appreciate the hearing, members, and the discussion, and hopefully we can find a path forward. And if any of the institutions have more comments or more tweaks, I'm happy to work with anybody to make it right. So thank you.
Senate File 1989 as amended will be laid over for possible inclusion. Seeing no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.